Hello, everyone. My name is James Ross Kiefer. I am the editor-in-chief of The Carolinian, and welcome to the second episode of The Carolinian podcast. Today, we're going to be doing a bit of an overview of the Russia investigation. As a bit of a timing note, we are recording this at 1:30 p.m. on Friday, November 3rd. He is a staff writer for the news section of the Carolinian.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Annie Walker, who is our opinions editor, who has been following the Russia investigation very closely.
Hello.
So, what a week we've had.
Yeah, I think Monday definitely opened Pandora's box for the White House in terms of the indictments. I think we're only going to see the first of many rounds of indictments to come. What do you think, Annie?
Yeah, I think, so I was still asleep when I got all those New York Times push alerts, and you know what I thought? Thank God I'm not Paul Manafort.
So how have we seen these indictments come about?
So, last Monday, we have finally had an unsealed account of the indictments. It turns out that George Papadopoulos pled guilty to a number of charges, most of which were lying to the FBI about collusion with the Russians and the Trump campaign. The other two indictments with Manafort and his aide, they tend to be around money laundering and movements of fund from using Ukraine as a conduit of sorts from Russian money into the American election system.
Right. So these indictments come out of a long investigation run by Robert Mueller, who was the former FBI director. So this investigation started in the summer of 2016. It continued through the first half of the presidency as just being something the FBI was looking into. And that's something that President Trump had some serious concerns about, to the extent that he wound up firing former FBI director Jim Comey. That firing had some couple of different reasons why it was justified, but eventually President Trump just kind of came out and said that he fired Jim Comey to stop the investigation. And at that point, the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, appointed a special counsel, Robert Mueller, a very, very respected person in Washington, very good investigator, to lead a targeted investigation into what was happening with the Trump campaign in Russia.
And just to clarify, we haven't seen any direct connection to Trump himself. So who have been some of the key players in this investigation?
So definitely so far, Paul Manafort has been the most central player. He was President Trump's former campaign manager, one of three, I believe. The main investigation into him comes into allegations of money laundering that actually date back to about 2006. And so there has been kind of an open investigation, just hasn't had a lot of resources poured into it for over a decade now.
Right. Okay. So it's also important to consider the family in this. We've seen a lot of indication from things that are out in the public that the Trump campaign was quite eager to work with the Russians. Whether or not the Russians were eager to work with them or whether that actually happened, we don't yet know. That's something we have to wait on the Mueller investigation to hear. But certainly Donald Trump Jr. was very interested in taking a meeting with a Russian lawyer named Natalia Vladimirskaya. That happened in the summer, and it was something where they talked about adoption, which is actually code for something called the Magnitsky Act. The Magnitsky Act is a series of targeted sanctions on the oligarchs in Russia, and is probably one of the reasons that we think the Russians are so interested in having people who are favorable to Russia in our government so they can repeal those sanctions. And once we put the sanctions on the Russians, they retaliated by saying that we could no longer adopt children from Russia. So anytime you hear talking about adoption, it's actually code for those sanctions. And we know that Donald Trump Jr. took a meeting with the Russians to talk about that. We know that Jared Kushner was in on that meeting. There was actually a lot of people in on that meeting. We also know that there have been some emails that have some compromising text in them indicating that certain members of the Trump family and other aides were very interested in seeing what those emails were once they learned that they were hacked. And that's actually where George Papadopoulos comes into this.
So I actually don't know the background of George Papadopoulos. I mean, I know he's lying, but to the FBI. But I don't feel like I could speak too much on Papadopoulos.
Right. Well, you're actually not alone. Nobody knew who George Papadopoulos was until about 11 a.m. on Monday. He's kind of a nobody, and that's one of the reasons why his guilty plea was so interesting, because that came out that he explicitly met with the Russians. The Russians told him, we have some compromising emails on Hillary Clinton that we stole, and Papadopoulos did not choose to go to the FBI and say, hey, the Russians have some compromising emails about Hillary Clinton they stole, but instead indicated that the campaign was very interested in learning what was in those emails. And that's a really direct tie that the campaign, or at least one member of the campaign, was reaching out to the Russians for that compromising material.
Okay, so we haven't really seen, since we haven't seen any direct connection to Trump, what has been some of his reactions to this investigation?
So far, Trump has come out on Twitter and kind of blasted the Mueller probe because there have not been any real direct links between the Trump campaign and Russia so far. And he pointed to the fact that, Manafort's investigation had been, you know, kind of open for about a decade. One thing I will say is the Papadopoulos story, I think, is going to bring down a lot of people with it. As well as, this is kind of the first round of indictments. We wouldn't really expect Mueller and his team to go for the most contentious case. I think he's going to go for more of the lower hanging fruits, build a momentum. And so I definitely don't think this is going to be end of charges whatsoever.
Right. This seems to read a lot like an investigation into a mafia family rather than a typical white collar crime, where normally when you investigate white collar crime, you do a lot of investigation and you run all of these indictments all at once, where we just say, here are the charges and you guys did some bad stuff. But instead, when you look at investigations into dirtier crimes, like organized crime, the way that you bring those down is you start by picking around the edges and you get people to turn until you can reach the people at the top. And that really appears to be what Mueller is doing. And in particular, I don't think that that was a coincidence that the Manafort and the Papadopoulos things came out at the same time. They were clearly sitting on the Papadopoulos guilty plea, as that actually happened earlier this month. That was something that they had their lips sealed shut about. And because the Mueller campaign really is not allowed to disclose anything to the public, one of the only ways that we have to learn about what they're thinking is what they release in these documents. And it kind of appears that Mueller is saying you can do this the easy way or the hard way. George Papadopoulos is maybe going to get 0 to 6 months. He might get probation. It's going to be an easy life for him. And because he complied, and we think that he worked with the Mueller investigation to get some other information out of people higher up. So George Papadopoulos will probably have a good life, even though we all know who he is now. But Manafort and his business partner, Rick Gates, kind of had the book thrown at them. They have 12 counts of indictment, including conspiracy against the United States. And they really went for everything they could possibly get at Manafort. Showing that, like, if you do not cooperate with us, we will find you, we will hunt you down, and we will make you pay in a very legal way. But there's two ways to do it, and you can do it the nice way or the hard way.
Exactly. And I think in the latter case, the FBI in Mueller's investigation has definitely been very aggressive. There's actually a no-knock warrant issued. So that means when the FBI goes and shows up at your house at about 4 or 5 a.m., they're actually going to kick down the door. And we would expect on a nonviolent criminal offender, usually you'd knock on the door and say, oh, this is the FBI, open up, we have an arrest warrant for these charges. They actually raided his home in, very early hours in the morning. So I would expect that level of aggression to play out in further charges.
So another thing we keep hearing about this investigation is Russia's involvement online in terms of buying ads on YouTube, Google, Facebook, and we actually saw those three companies being brought in to testify. What is the significance of that? Is that a major thing? Is that a minor thing? What are we looking at there?
The fact that a hostile foreign government tried to influence our election and many accounts were very successful in that is something that we should be concerned about as American citizens, as voters, as people interested in the integrity of our government. I think it's important to make a distinction between what the Russians did on their own, that the entire intelligence community has said is something that they did with intent to influence the election, and what we think their ties to the Trump campaign are. And So we know that the Russians have a very, very strong arm of people who can influence things on social media. It's a tactic that they have used extensively in Ukraine, that they have attempted to use across Western Europe in some things that affected our election, where nearly half the country saw ads from Russian entities in the course of the election. And that's something that we should be very concerned about, but that we don't necessarily know if there are ties between the Trump campaign and Russian social media aggressions. So we certainly hope that the FBI and other justice investigators are looking for ways to prevent this from affecting the 2018 election, but I would not say that it's necessarily related directly to the indictments that came out on Monday or the Papadopoulos guilty plea, as far as we know, yeah.
I think it's quite clear that the Russians definitely have interest in sowing discontent and sowing division in this country. And so one of the ways that has become very noticeable in the headlines this year is the Facebook ads. But I think also the Russian-backed kind of agent provocateurs that will act like they are, for example, a member of Black Lives Matter, just to sow kind of discontent among people on Facebook. And as Annie said, I don't know if we can necessarily draw a direct line between the Kremlin and the White House on that, but I think there's definitely some very, very nefarious intent at play.
So why would the Russians even want to interfere in the U.S.?
So I definitely think Putin wants Russia to have a bigger seat at the table. I think definitely in his lifetime, he saw what was once the great Soviet Union crumble in 1991. The current Russian Federation is certainly a shell of itself in terms of global influence, economic influence, political influence. When Russia sticks their tentacles into countries like Ukraine and they try to sway voters in the annexation of Crimea, or when we watch their military buildup on the border in the Baltics, I think we're definitely seeing a Russia that wants to expand, that wants to be taken seriously, that wants other countries to look at it as a strong, powerful country.
Right, and one of the main obstacles of that expansion is the very existence of NATO, which is the Northern Atlantic Treaty Organization. It's something that the U.S. is a part of, as well as most of Western Europe, and it is an organization committed to keeping Russia at bay, that Russia cannot go into, or at least they shouldn't be able to go into former bloc countries when NATO is strong, because if there is an invasion on one NATO country, that is an attack against all NATO countries, and you will have to see the powers of France, Germany, the UK, the United States of America going up against Russia, and that's not something that they want to see. So one of the ways that they can kind of loosen up their ability to go into places that they would like to regain territorial control over is to make NATO not effective. And one of the good ways of doing that is by making NATO countries skeptical of the principle of NATO, by putting in people who are fond of Russia or at the very least not aggressive toward Russia. And if you can kind of make the circumstances of the West more amenable to Russian expansion, then it's a lot easier than having to fight your way into Russian expansion.
So refocusing domestically and looking back at the crux of this argument, what do you guys think is the future of this investigation?
A lot more indictments. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I think we can expect to see the Mueller team working very hard to get people either to come in because they lied to the FBI. Pro tip, do not lie to the FBI. If they ever come and talk to you, don't lie to them. They don't like it.
I agree with Annie wholeheartedly. I think that this is definitely just the first of many rounds. There is certainly a sort of Damocles hanging above the White House, and I think they're going to feel it very soon.
Right. So one thing that we don't actually know the answer to is whether anyone is allowed to indict the president. There is something called presidential immunity, which basically means that you're not really allowed to sue the president. But certainly we can expect to see the investigation go as far as it can to do what it thinks is right, and they will likely issue a concluding report. They might issue indictments. We don't know how far up they'll go. But certainly it's something to keep an eye on because it has vast implications for how the West Wing is able to continue working, and certainly for the 2018 and 2020 elections.
Well, thank both of you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Carolinian Podcast, you can find us online at CarolinianUNCG.com. If you have any thoughts about the Russian investigation, you can tweet at us at the Carolinian on Twitter. And until next time, stay curious.